A look at the Boca Raton Resort in Boca Raton, Florida, home of the NFL annual meeting in 2016. And we go inside where all the decision makers in the National Football League are here, owners, GMs, head coaches, and all the rest. We're here as well. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. JP Shattuck with you at the NFL annual meeting. Plenty to get to today on Jaguars.com Live. Here's what's up today. More about the NFL annual meeting. We'll hear from Dave Caldwell, Jags GM, coming up. He spoke with the media just a few minutes ago outside the meeting rooms here at the Boca Raton Resort. Coaching additions for the Jaguars. We'll break down some of the new names joining the Jaguars staff. And special guests coming up on Jaguars.com Live as well. We'll hear from Dave Caldwell coming up. He spoke with us a little bit earlier today. But the coaching additions for the Jaguars announced earlier this morning, three additions to the coaching staff: John Benton, assistant offensive line coach; John Donovan, the offensive quality control coach; and defensive assistant Monty Kiffin. Kiffin now in his 50th year in coaching, 28 years in the National Football League. And Kiffin, of course, has a history with some of the Jaguars' assistants, including Gus Bradley, Todd Wash, Olsen, and Hackett. They were all on staff together down in Tampa Bay. So Monty Kiffin joining as a defensive assistant. And we're going to be joined now by our first guest today, fresh out of the press conference for the competition committee, John Clayton from ESPN. Good to see you. Thanks
good
for coming
you.
On
catch
with
or
us.
No catch?
That's a good question, right?
It is.
What is the rule now?
What's that? It hasn't changed. It's okay. Still the same confusing rule. That is, it's not, and it's still going to be confusing, but I guess they're trying to use more video, more education to try to do it. But, I mean, the problem really becomes that technology is so good with the replays as far as you being able to see it as a fan that now it's harder to make those calls because, okay, how do you judge it and all those things? It's just part of the technology being almost the eyes of the camera almost better than the eyes of the official.
I heard in there briefly when I poked my head in there, it's all about coming down with the ball. Don't worry about the feet if you're an official. It's all about holding on to the football, right?
Yeah, holding on to the football, but you have to have a time element in there. That's why, unfortunately, they're going to keep that running back type of mentality because you have to establish yourself as a runner when, of course, that's hard to do when you're catching a football. But they have to have a time element because they're trying to sync it up with defenseless receivers.
And, John, the NFL, you know, fans with this rule just want to say, if it looks like a catch, it's a catch.
Yeah.
But the NFL really likes clear-cut, out of the subjective for officials, right? Mm-hmm. They like to have a clean, hard rule, and it's hard with this because it doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't. I mean, but what they're trying to do is try to develop it with a plus-plus, I guess you can call it.
Right.
They're trying to make three things. It's like you catch the ball, 2 feet, and then time, a
right.
time element. And, of course, the reason they say the time element is because it's the same thing with a defenseless receiver. You know, put your feet down, mm-hmm. catch the ball 2 feet down, and then there's a time where you're trying to establish
gotcha.
Where you've had control. And that's, what I think, where the confusion comes in. But they also try to make sure, for safety reasons, that there's an ability for the receiver to get into a position to defend himself
right.
or run. And that, I think, makes it a little bit tougher.
Gotcha. Now, we talked about an hour ago a little about the Jags, and I haven't talked to you in a while about them. But you shared that you really like the direction of the franchise. And as much as fans may hate the word patience, that there has to be and had to have been a patience element in what they've done here.
Right. And see, what I say now, because the game changed in 2011, and of course that predates, you know, the current administration okay. with Dave Caldwell and that, and it made more of an importance to, number one, draft well, get good okay. draft choices, and number two, re-sign players that you drafted to second contracts. And so where you feel good about where Jacksonville's going, over the last 2 years, mm-hmm. they've built up the offense. They got a quarterback in Blake Bortles who had 35 touchdown passes. They've got two really good young receivers, Allen Robinson going to the Pro Bowl last year, Allen Hurns, and then, you know, Marquise Lee is another prospect that can be good. Now you can start to see guys coming through, particularly on the offensive side, that can get second contracts. Mm-hmm. That's where you didn't see that. I mean, for example, you go back to the 212 class of this year, Andre Branch and a punter, and neither are signed.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, John.
Yeah, I know.
Appreciate that.
I know. No, but it's like, no, but that's where the problem becomes, right. because if you don't have guys to re-sign, then you're forced to go into free agency, and that makes it tougher because you don't have those guys for really 4 years.
Right.
I go back to the 212 class, and this is not just the this is class of unrestricted free agents. Mm-hmm. Of the guys signing, this is 212, right? Guys signing $4 million or more,
right.
there's only like three left on teams. And so you can see that cycle. And you can see the cycle this year around the league, 213 and 214 UFA signings are getting cut, traded, or wiped off the team. So now, where you like what's going on in Jacksonville, over the last 2 years, the offense has been built up to a point now where it's scoring over 20-some points a game.
Right.
That's good. And now it's a matter of a two-year process of building up the defense. And you can see now the emphasis can be on that. And if the drafts go well, it's going to be great for the team.
So it sounds like you think the days of quick turnarounds may be a little behind.
Yeah, I think everybody thinks that, yeah.
Because in the last decade, quick turnarounds were maybe a little more common than they are now.
I'll give you an example, Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Tampa Bay hit, looks like, on five draft choices in the last 2 years, okay, in the first two rounds. They get a left tackle, they get a guard, they get a quarterback, they get a tight end, and they get a Pro Bowl caliber receiver in Mike Evans. Five hits. They got the offense now, like Jacksonville, scoring points. Where are they on defense? Well, they didn't draft on defense, so the defense now, it cost Lovie Smith his job because on a two-year basis. Now they're on a two-year cycle. And what's interesting, if you really look at it, and this is, I think, the fun part for Jacksonville, for Oakland, for Tennessee to a certain degree, and certainly Tampa Bay, and maybe even Chicago, you know, they're all in that process where what are they all looking to do? They've got enough offense.
Right.
They need to build up the defense.
So those are the five teams you mentioned earlier when we were talking that somebody's going to get a defense out of that bunch.
Yeah.
And skyrocket.
Yeah, it's a matter, is it going to be this year, next year, and the closer it gets. And I mean, you look at all the teams, particularly after 2011 when the new CBA came in, similar things. Okay, they, you know, if they weren't successful, they were scoring 16 to 17 points, and they were giving up 25 to 27 points.
Right.
All right, so now you look at these teams now like Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, and that. Now they're scoring over 20. That's good.
Right.
Now it's a matter of getting that 25 to 27, first down to 23, 24, and then down to 20. And so now if you just do the simple math, if you're scoring 23 or 24 and giving up 21, you're winning nine games.
JP struggled at math, John. So that's tough.
Yeah, a lot of math.
Catch or no catch. That's a tough ask.
No math, John. John Clayton with us from ESPN. Let's talk about some of these free agents, especially on defense. Malik Jackson up front, Tashawn Gibson on the back end. Impact guys right away for you?
Oh, no question. Yeah, because, I mean, what you see with Malik is, I mean, he has been developed into a very good inside pass rusher, and he's versatile. He can go inside and outside, and in a Gus Bradley system, which is the Pete Carroll system, that's great. I mean, that's Michael Bennett. And so now you can kind of move him around if necessary, but the big thing, particularly on the 60 to 70% that he's going to be on the field on passing downs, I mean, he can get to the quarterback, and he's really good. You know, Gibson was a great success story, an undrafted guy that developed both a good attitude, a good playmaking ability. I mean, the key with both guys is that they're playmakers, and one can help with the inside pass rush. So that's a, those are two good additions. And then, you know, with a good defensive type of draft, that's going to put things over a little bit better.
And then another addition, free agency on the other side of the ball, there's a lot of talk around Luke Jokel now because of the addition to Kelvin Beachum, the left tackle from the Steelers coming off a knee injury. All of a sudden, a battle at left tackle in Jacksonville.
And it's just a matter of, you know, how quickly Beachum can get that knee right and be able to do some things this year, because, you know, he was going to be an $8 million. They offered him $8 million to stay in Pittsburgh, and he was hoping to get the 10.5 that most young tackles get, and he's good enough to do that. I mean, what they looked at in Pittsburgh is that talent-wise, he's a top 10 type of center, or a top 10 type of left tackle.
Yeah.
And so that's good. I mean, because if you're going to be in the top 10, that's going to put you, you know, either a Pro Bowl alternate or somewhere near that. And so from the talent standpoint, he can come in, again, depending on how the knee is, and compete, and then create an option if they don't want to try to do the fifth-year option on Luke Jokel. I mean, so that is one where you can see more teams doing it. I mean, you notice that in Detroit, they already have the fifth-year option on Riley Reiff at $8 million. Well, they were looking at Russell Okung and trying to see, is there other options? And that's going to happen.
I've got to ask you. We've known each other since 95 when the Jaguars came into the league. Did you ever in a million years think John Clayton commercial star? Is something I've ever talked to you about?
No.
It's an amazing – how many times do you get asked about that in the course of your life when you're going around? I mean
– every day.
That's got to be a a cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like – first off, it's interesting to have people talk about my hair, which there isn't a lot. And it's like, hey, so where's the mullet?
Right.
Like, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the commercial was great. I mean, it's like one of those things they propose to you and you say, oh, yeah, that looks good. And then you do it and look at the success. I mean, they actually – because of that commercial, they ran a show in August the year the commercial, next year the commercial came out, and they had a competition to see what was going to be the best commercial for ESPN. And what I didn't realize, I mean, Jay-Z has like 5 million followers on Twitter. And so for his Robinson Cano commercial, he got it all out there. And so he got all the responses. And so Robinson Cano finished one. I finished second. And I didn't tweet it out. I should have just tweeted it.
Yeah.
I mean, I got 1.4 million followers. So that's
ever in a million years did I think you and I would be sitting and talking about Jay-Z, John.
Yeah, I know. And if you're wondering, Jay-Z's Robinson Cano's agent.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, that makes sense.
Full circle, for sure. What's the rest of your day and rest of your week like here, John?
Just kind of hanging out, seeing what news breaks. I mean, what deals get done, what's going to be voted in, and then just, you know, poke around and kind of look into the future and, you know, try to get some salary cap stuff in there somewhere.
Nice. Not a bad place to poke around.
No, that's no, it's pretty sure. Nice, is it?
It absolutely
a little
is.
Chilly today. Though.
Yeah, I don't know. We're in South Florida, right?
We are, yeah. In the 60s? It's like the coldest
cool.
day since February.
John, we appreciate your time, man.
Thanks.
John Clayton joining us from ESPN on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. We'll be here the next day with more coverage from the NFL annual meeting here in Boca at the Boca Raton Resort. Stay here on Jaguars.com for the latest from Jaguars owner Shad Khan. Head coach Gus Bradley will speak to the media tomorrow morning. We'll have all that right here on the website. Our thanks to John Clayton. John Osier with us.
Yeah, let me say it quickly before we go. John is one of the busiest writers at this meeting. So for him to have taken 15 minutes to talk Jags with us means a lot to me. I've known him for about 20 years since Jags came into the league, and I know it is time with these meetings. And really good insight, and you can tell listening to him for our viewers. You know, every media guy, what we all do, we love football and we love this business, but you can still tell John's passion in it after doing this a long time. So one of my favorite guests. That was fantastic.
No ponytail either. And his segment is done, Mom.
I used to have a ponytail, but he didn't, I don't think.
Before this show began, right before, Dave Caldwell spoke with a few of the local Jacksonville media folks, including us. What did you take away from Dave?
Trying to process a little bit. That the left tackle situation, Beecham, Jokel, is very much a competition. And they expect Beecham to be on the field and able to compete probably by the end of training camp, okay. Possibly somewhere in there. I have to go back and look at my notes. But somewhere during training camp, they expect him to be on the field and make that a competition. I do not get the idea that it is a lockdown. Kellen Beecham's coming in, taking the job. And Dave didn't say this specifically, but you got the idea that somewhere those two guys are going to be starters. And the big thing about Beecham that they really like is it gives them options. If for example, Beecham would be playing guard and Jokel's playing tackle, I don't know if that's how it's going to be, mm-hmm. but if that was the deal, you've got a guy playing that if there's an injury to Parnell or Jokel, can slide out, and vice versa. If Jokel's playing guard, then if there's an injury, you can slide out. You have an active player on game day who gives you some flexibility there. I don't think they feel like they're automatically set and ready to say who their five are going to mm-hmm. be, but there's no question they feel better with Linder coming back and with Beecham coming in. They feel worlds better about where their offensive line is. And believe it or not, JP is breaking it.
Okay.
Dave Caldwell is not walking around teeth clenched about pass rusher angst.
No?
He's okay. He's doing okay. Like
everybody else seems to be.
He didn't have a massage guy with him, you know, doing his shoulders. Okay. And I would like one, but, you know. He continues to believe, and this is the stance the team is going with at this point. When you start the season next year, if Fowler, Cindric Marks, and Malik Jackson are healthy, you now have three players up front capable of pressuring the passer that were not on the field for you at the end of last season. And their belief is that is a significant difference and a situation that puts them, while maybe not ideal, while you've likely gotten one more pass rusher, it still puts them in better stead than a lot of teams around the NFL on that front. So that's why he's not necessarily going to guarantee Olivier Vernon $100 million a year or $100 million over the contract, because they feel like in-house, what they've got now is a significant improvement over what was there last year.
Before he chatted with the writers, we caught up with him on the video side here on Jaguars.com, and we asked him, are the Jags done in free agency?
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever be done up until the end of the season, so that will continue throughout the rest of the year, and we always look for opportunities to make the team better.
Draft is next on the radar, of course, a few weeks out from that. How far along in the process are you, and if you had to pick today, could you at number five?
We could pick today at number five, yeah. But there's still a lot more information. We're bringing guys in for visits in the month of April, and then a lot more in terms of medical information and workouts that we're still trying to get.
Did any of the free agency acquisitions change your mind of anything in the draft?
No, I think our mindset was to go into free agency where we could draft, or we just didn't have to kind of force a need and force a pick. So I think we've accomplished most of that, and now we can just draft best player available, you know, in these coming up drafts.
This week in Boca, this event, of course, a nice place. What's your week like at a place like this?
You know, it's pretty structured. You know, it's been a pretty good mix of, you know, meetings, and then today was a heavy meeting, and this afternoon, and then get to do some team building with the rest of our staff, too.
And you get to see folks around the league, too, kind of a convention of sorts. Right?
Yeah, it's good to see guys you don't see often, guys that you used to scout with, and see them and kind of reconnect a little bit.
Jags GM Dave Caldwell a little bit earlier today. Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank continues. JP Shadrick with you. John Osier will be back with us coming up. Our thanks to John Clayton for joining us just a moment ago. As we spoke about earlier, coaching additions for the Jaguars, three added officially earlier today. The announcement came out. John Benton, assistant O-line coach, 12 NFL seasons, the last 2 years as the Miami Dolphins offensive line coach. John Donovan, offensive quality control, 19 years in college, last two as the Penn State offensive coordinator. He joins the Jaguars now. And Monty Kiffin, of course, the longtime defensive assistant. That's his title with the Jags. 50th year in coaching, 28 years in the National Football League, and, of course, a lot of the time with the Buccaneers, the Tampa 2, and time with this Jaguars coaching staff. Gus Bradley, Todd Wash, Olsen, Hackett, all were working in Tampa at times with Monty Kiffin. And he was involved, in fact, in an unofficial capacity during the search for defensive coordinator for the Jaguars. So Monty Kiffin was in on all the interviews during that process, ended up being Todd Wash, and now Monty Kiffin is officially on the Jaguars staff. And I think that brings the total of coaches for the Jags up to 28 now, if you include strength and conditioning coaches. Plenty left to get to throughout this week here in Boca. Tomorrow, head coach Gus Bradley will speak with the media at the AFC Coaches Breakfast. That's about 7:15 tomorrow morning, and we'll carry that right here. And also Jaguars owner Shad Khan scheduled to speak with the media sometime tomorrow. Don't have an official time yet for the Jaguars owner, but we'll have both of those coming up on Jaguars.com tomorrow. And, of course, inside the Jaguars a little bit later today to wrap up today's activity here in Boca. John Osier will be back with us here in just a moment as we're standing right outside the media center in the Grand Hall at the Boca Raton Resort. The competition committee press conference just ended a few minutes ago. To our right, Dean Blandino, the league crew discussing some of the changes that could be coming from the rule changes that are possible. So that was a press conference just a moment ago. Hey, by the way, season tickets on sale now for 2016. Great home schedule coming up. Guess what? A couple of division games at home, Tennessee, Houston. The world champs are here. Denver, of course, Green Bay, Minnesota. That Oakland game is looking better and better as well. Get your tickets 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets. Alex Marvez is with us.
Oh, I may show up in a Speedo. You know, you got the pool going. I mean, this is a big game, Jags-Raiders. I mean, I remember back last when they played at Alltel. Back in the day, it was Alltel, right? Now it's EverBank, of course.
Yes.
But back in the day, Warren Sapp getting ejected in the second quarter, just wanted to take the rest of the afternoon off with the way the Jags were playing. That was a very good Jacksonville Jaguars team back then, and I think a team back on the rise. You guys making a lot of noise this offseason. I like.
Yeah. And first of all, thanks for joining us. I know I just grabbed you. And, you know,
I was eating a cookie.
You were eating a cookie, and it was like a good cookie.
It was. Which
you didn't bring an extra.
You're known for your cookie taste.
Yes.
What do you think of where they're at? We've talked over the years, since the build started, since Khan got there, about the process. And you're an astute guy. You follow everything nationally. How is it going in your view?
Well, I mean, first things first, you have the franchise quarterback. I mean, that's 9/10 of the battle right there. And it's a team, too, that I don't think is married to things that they may have done wrong in the past.
Okay.
And look, we all make mistakes in this business in terms of as writers, as media, but as personnel folks as well. Mm-hmm. So maybe if Luke Joeckel isn't working out, well, you got someone in there to compete. potentially to replace him at tackle. All of a sudden, you've raised the bar at the running back position. You know, you sign a Chris Ivory to compete with a T.J. Yeldon. That's what I like about what's gone on here. And, of course, continuing to fill in the holes on the defensive side of the football. And I think it was very astute of the Jags when you looked ahead to the 2016 draft, realizing this was going to be a very defensive-heavy draft. On top of that, some of the free agent personnel that was available, I think they made some great moves. I mean, this is a much better team on paper right now than what it was. And it also means, too, honestly, no excuses for this coming year. This has to be a viable playoff contender. And what was disappointing to me about the Jags in 2015 was this team had a chance to make that run for the AFC South. It was there for the taking, but it was just on defense, things fell short. I think this unit has to play better, and offensively, a little bit more balance and also an improved offensive line.
What's your big, and I'll get back to the Jags in a moment, but out of this meeting, what's the big league issue that you're interested in?
You know, I think the rules proposals are always interesting to me because of shaping the way the game has changed. You know, the game continues to change, especially amid the safety issues. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's something that's significant as well. You know, and I think, though, that really something that's off the books that's going to go on here this week is really I think the quarterback carousel is eventually going to stop spinning. I think by the end of this week, once teams have a chance to meet with agents, once they have a chance to talk amongst themselves, we're going to know, okay, who's heading to Denver, who's heading to Cleveland, who's heading to the New York Jets, and really the Los Angeles Rams, maybe the surprise so far today with Les Snead saying that, hey, you know, telling NFL Network, Case Keenum is our number one guy heading into the season. I mean, think about it. Yeah, Case Keenum wasn't even on their radar last year, and now he's their guy. So it just shows to me that they're not in the free agent quarterback market. So I think that's really the big unresolved things. Where's RG3, Colin Kaepernick, Ryan Fitzpatrick? Where are they going to be playing in 2016?
And doesn't it feel like this carousel, to use your word, is different than years past, and that there are more teams that are viable if they have a quarterback that aren't sure, and that one of these guys might actually fit and go in and be successful, whereas usually that's not the case. Usually if you don't have your guy well in advance of this, has the dynamic changed in the league that much?
I think the dynamic changed when the Denver Broncos underestimated the market for Brock Osweiler.
Okay.
And you know, they also underestimated that his feelings were hurt. Oh, I got fetched in week 17. Oh, my God. I can't possibly recover and play in Denver again. You know, but in all seriousness, they didn't coddle the guy the way he wanted to be coddled. And you know, he can deny it and all that. I mean, when he said absolutely not to the reporter in Houston who asked him, I don't know if you saw it, the reporter had to duck because Osweiler's nose shot out so far ahead straight that, like, you almost poked the guy in the eye. So, I mean, it's a real dangerous thing with that when you ask Brock that question. But, you know, the Broncos now, they left themselves unprepared. They didn't have a plan C. Yep. And is it going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick? Right. Is it going, you know, where? How do these guys fit in? You have a Super Bowl-ready team on the defensive side of the ball. The offensive line has gotten better with the addition of Russell Okung and Donald Stevenson. And now you have a running game with C.J. Anderson. If the guy stays in shape, you should still be a very viable Super Bowl contender. I don't think the quarterback position is minimized. I don't think the Broncos can necessarily win again without a good, better offensive performance than what they had last year. Just a very quirky year. We did have in 2001, the Baltimore Ravens came back without their top two quarterbacks, but that was their own decision to go with Elvis Gerback and see how well that did for them.
Really,
but
out.
In this case, both guys gone, and the Broncos left holding the bag.
Alex Marvez is with us. NFL annual meeting. We're in Boca. This is Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. The other day, I was on your program on Sirius XM Radio, and we're talking about Jags defense again now. So, looking forward to the draft. Next big event for this for Jags GM Dave Caldwell. A lot of defensive focus. That'll probably be the case in that draft. But where do you see the Jags at 5 here? What do you got?
It's a little tricky. You know, will there be a pass rusher out there that they like? And I think you have to put a premium on that position. You know, does the kid from Oregon, DeForest Buckner, does he slide down to 5? Another intriguing big man in the middle of this defense. You know, you look at cornerback. It's been forever. I mean, John, you've been around this team. When was the last time they took a corner in the first round? Exactly.
And that's what they have.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So if you're looking at that, being at that spot, you got Jalen Ramsey, obviously of Florida State, one of the best in the business. I think Hargrave's a little bit too early to draft at 5, even though I am a Gator. I'm not going to try to sell you a bad bill of goods there. But I really believe that you're looking at those spots. And also, Miles Jack, I tell you, when you look at Telvin Smith, the fastest linebacker in football, and you put him and Miles Jack on the same field at the same time with Paul Posluszny manning the middle for right now, my goodness. I mean, this linebacking core is loaded for bear. So I think that gives them another cool component to this defense, a real wild card on the field.
And normally you wouldn't take a linebacker that high, but he may transcend conventional thinking on that. he may be that fast and that good. So.
Right. And what are the other needs? Do you go left tackle? I mean, is this something that, you know, you have to ask yourself? You know, if the kid from Notre Dame, Ron Stanley, is available, is that is that where you want to go? And take that. I can't argue with that thinking. I mean, you know, when you know there are some great offensive lines that have won, then you see the Denver Broncos, and I don't think we can name the starting five. You know, I mean, really, when you think about it, I mean, and they've obviously blown that unit up. So there's so many different ways to win a Super Bowl. Anyone that tells you that they have the game plan for doing this thing right, it's all, they're all made in different ways. But you know what? This is actually a good draft for the Jags, because I can't tell you at this point there's one glaring need that this team has. And how long has it been since we've had that opportunity to say that in Jacksonville?
Long time. No doubt about that. Alex, what's the rest of your day and week look like here?
I'm going to finish this cookie. It was a chocolate chip cookie. I had options. I had peanut butter. I had oatmeal. And instead, I chose the chocolate. It was a pretty good decision so far, I think. And that's,
I think you got a little of that cookie, right?
You know, a little bit right there?
Yeah, I got it.
So, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. So, yeah, the cookie really first and foremost in my mind will be on Sirius XM NFL Radio 7 to 10, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night for late hits. Bill Polian joining me Tuesday night. Tom Pelissero from USA Today tonight and Wednesday night. And if you check out foxsports.com, I'll have some scribbling up there.
Yeah. The hardest working man in show business is Alex Marvez. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks so much.
There he is,
thanks,
a good buddy.
What a good guy.
Alex Marvez joining us on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. As we continue here in Boca Raton at the NFL annual meeting, we'll continue our coverage, of course, tomorrow with the AFC coaches breakfast in the morning, and then Jaguars owner Shad Khan scheduled to speak at some point later in the day. I believe around 11 o'clock is the last we've heard. We'll have all that right here on Jaguars.com. It's a good show today, man. John Clayton, Alex Marvez.
And two of the good guys and two of the knowledgeable guys. And when you listen to their answers, it's clear people in the league believe that the Jaguars overall are doing it right. And when I say overall, I mean when they look at a big picture, building the franchise, building the core of the franchise. Now, the results have not come, but generally speaking, when you look at how this franchise is doing things, the core and the talent level has gone up. It's not enough if you don't win, but in terms of approach, there's very little that, I should say very little, but it's being done the right way, and there's a belief that it's being done the right way. Now, as Alex said, you got to win.
Next step tomorrow, Gus Bradley in the morning. What do you expect to hear from the head coach?
7:15, right?
Yeah, it's pretty early in the morning. Yes.
I expect to hear yawns. and he'll talk a little about the addition of Monty Kiffin to the defensive heads.
Yep.
That's a big name. I anticipate that is still more of a consultant. He's not being brought in to override Todd Wash, but he's being brought in to be an experienced set of eyes and ears, which is good. So that'll be a big topic, and he'll sort of freeform after that. You know how he is. He'll rap a little bit for you.
He might. Yeah. And we'll have that for you right here. Of course, Jaguars owner Shad Khan will have the big picture tomorrow as well. It's always big when he talks, but certainly at these meetings with a lot going on in the league.
Absolutely. It'll be a good day tomorrow. And good show today. I really enjoyed having Alex and John on. Very insightful.
Stay tuned a little later today on Jaguars.com. We'll have Inside the Jaguars. John Osier will have his wrap-up as well. For John Osier, our thanks to John Clayton and Alex Marvez, and thanks to you for watching. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. We'll see you next time on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.